Hey, and welcome to the Stay Wild Trauma Child podcast. I'm Steph.
And I'm Jamie, your trauma tour guides. Please keep your hands, arms, and legs.
Oh, Jamie. Yeah. We're their hosts.
As I was saying, we are two best friends that are openly sharing their healing journeys while navigating sudden loss, parenthood, relationships, mental health, and so much more.
So this is your trigger warning that Jamie and I will be discussing highly sensitive topics, including abuse, domestic violence, and murder in most, if not all, of our episodes.
We aren't for the faint of heart. We cuss like sailors, and we have a pretty dark sense of humor. So if either of those things bother you, this is where your tour ends.
Oh, hey, Jamie. Yeah. Don't forget to tell them that we aren't medical professionals.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely not medical professionals, but we probably need them.
So grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and get ready for a whole lot of laughs and maybe even a little bit of healing.
I don't know what to say. I'm just staring at me, waiting to start this episode.
Oh, my goodness.
Steph had a really good episode idea, guys.
Well, because literally we decided to change our entire lives last year. I mean, not that we don't try and decide that every year, but literally it has officially been a year since you left me. Abandonment wound. I had to, sorry.
So sorry for adding to that. I have caught so much shit between you and Grace.
Truthfully, I think it's also Noah. Noah's mad at you that you took him away from his Steffi.
I hear about it almost every day. Steffi? Grace Pool? Grace House? Let's go. He packed a suitcase the other day. A whole suitcase good. And stood Perfect. By the door.
What's it full
he
of this time?
The door.
Because last year he only needed his wee-wee cart and his cup and a blanket, and he was good to go to Washington.
Clothes.
Oh, now we need clothes.
He's dead ass serious this time. Like I was pretty impressed. And he packed a few crackers.
Perfect. You know, he's probably going to get hungry on that long trek.
Well, you're going to be walking a long time, son.
But I was thinking about it on my way home from work the other day. It probably was like Tuesday or Wednesday, where it was literally a year ago that you were driving cross country and leaving everything behind you have ever known to go to Washington. And then it's crazy because also as you were making plans to move to Washington, I was making plans to move back to Connecticut. Like we were both so dead set on these paths. And here we are almost exactly a year later. I'm still in North Carolina. And you are making plans to move back to North Carolina.
This weekend, we leave.
I can't fucking wait. Like, I am so excited for you to fucking be back. Like, I can't even explain to you. One, I'm tired of having nobody to hang out with other than Robert.
I can't even explain to you. Do you know how many times I have about got in the car? Okay, this is how awesome it is. So we're making a stop in Nashville, right? We're making a stop in Nashville. That's one of our stops. Mm-hmm. An area outside of Asheville, or Jesus Christ, Nashville. And I need to send you the Airbnb we booked because, like, I'm so pumped for it. It's going to be so fucking cool.
That's awesome.
I booked, like, some of the coolest little Airbnbs. And the cool part is, like, I was able to keep it under 100 for each. So I was able to keep it cheaper than hotels.
Yeah. Hotels can be stupid expensive.
Yeah, but the Airbnbs can also be stupid expensive with the cleaning fees and the service fees.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little trick of the trade for anyone traveling. If you find an Airbnb that seems like it could be not just someone's home, but like a set of cabins or something like that, go find the actual website and book at the website or call them directly because you get like $40 taken off the Airbnb price.
Oh, yeah, because they probably have to pay a fee through Airbnb to have it listed, right?
Yeah, I just booked the cutest little cabins in Wyoming.
Oh, that's awesome.
So cute. On this guy's property. And he's a super host. And these are under $100 super hosts. So great reviews. But on the way back from Nashville, I was going to stop in Asheville. And I'm still kind of toying around with the idea because from Nashville to where we're going is 10 hours. And I'm like, God, that's a long drive. And we're going to do like 3 to 4 10-hour days. prior to that. Like this.
Yeah, time, and Nashville to Asheville is like a 4 hour, 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, and that's what feels like, because I know we're capable of 9-10 hour days. They're not easy. They're not easy with two kids.
Girl, he's preaching to the choir. Yeah.
But Zach and I feel so much more prepared than last time because, like, we know what to expect. We know how to handle this. Loki's great in the car. We know where we fucked up last time, which is why I refused hotels this time, because that was a major fuck up for us, because we just didn't feel comfortable. When you're in a house, you can be a little bit louder. You can be a little bit, you know, crazier. So that's why I was like, I'm going with Airbnbs or VRBOs, damn it. Like, so that's how much I want to make it back. But I also want to sightsee.
100%, you should.
But I also love you guys equally. So what I have done is I have, like, made it so I stop a day. Or I'm stopping 2 days in Yellowstone. And we're taking the whole days to, like, explore. And because of that, the treks in between have become from, like, 7-8 hours to 10 hours apiece. Because I'm like, I'm getting the fuck home, but I am also seeing Yellowstone.
Yeah, you should, though. I mean, who says that you're ever going to have this opportunity again, like, to travel like that? Like, where you can see so many things at once. Like, you know, like, I don't blame you. And once you're here, you're going to be like, can y'all go away now, please? I need my space. I need some space away from everybody.
I need everyone in my space, except my children. They came out of my space, and they have been in my space for an entire year. Which I feel like is a great lead-in to what you wanted to talk about on this episode of, like, just how much was different than what we expected when I left for Washington a year ago, and when you were like, I'm moving to Connecticut a year ago. And we had this whole vision for our lives. And it felt scary because it was like, there's so much that could go wrong, but there's also so much that could go right. And none of it fucking happened. All the negative things, none of it happened. And all the positive things I thought were going to happen, none of that happened. Other things happened.
What positive things didn't happen that you thought were going to happen?
Like, I thought I was going to go back to school here, right? Like, I was dead set on it. I was so excited. And then I got here and, like, so much about me changed and my beliefs changed and, like, my self-love changed. And I was like, I don't need to go spend $100,000 to prove anything to anyone because I'm fucking smart. And the economy's crashing and fuck that shit. Because I can show the world how smart I am. I don't need a college degree. Like, I'm talented. I'm smart. And then I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's a positive change I didn't expect.
And I think that's a major inner teenage Jamie healing. Yeah. I think that truthfully is a big hug to your inner teenager, because for so long you felt like in order for you to have a voice, especially around certain people, you had to have a fucking expensive piece of paper that says you know how to, you know something. I have two of those. Doesn't mean I know anything.
Well, I mean, like, my old boss, Dave, tried to beat it into my head. He's like, take courses, educate yourself, always educate yourself. But, like, you don't have to have a degree to be respected by these people. Mm-mm. And he pulled some of the most amazing people into my life because some of his clients were just so genuinely amazing. And they were so patient with me because they understood I was young. And they were so kind. And I had these grown ass people with multiple degrees living in multi-million dollar homes, asking my opinion and treating me respectfully. And I always met them with, like, either kind of a fight or a flight response, right? It was like, oh, run away, like, protect yourself. They're gonna know. They're gonna know that you don't know all of the facts about this business development corporation you're trying to sell them for $30,000. What? And then the other part of me was like, fight. It was like, I would get, like, this saucy little, not attitude, because obviously it wasn't a confrontation, but, like, I would seem full of myself, and I couldn't find a happy medium. And that's because my nervous system was still in this state of fight or flight. I hadn't learned how to regulate my nervous system. Whereas now, when I'm talking to people who have hurt me or people that could potentially intimidate me, it's just like this sense of peace. It's like, oh, this is my truth. Like, I don't, how you respond to what I'm saying has no bearing on how I'm going to communicate it to you, because how I communicate and the way I communicate and the way I choose to love and, like, speak my truth, like, that is not going to be impacted by how I think you might receive it anymore, as long as I'm staying true to myself.
Yeah. And that makes sense. That definitely makes sense.
That was the major shift. That was one of the many major shifts up here. And I think, or I know that I wrote something the other night, because it's actually funny that you brought up this episode topic. I'm so sorry. It's a war zone here. That's another thing I didn't expect you guys, but this helicopter in the background. I don't know if you can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
There's constantly police and helicopters, and I didn't expect all of the crime in Spokompton. I mean, I read about it, but I was not ready. I was a white girl from a middle class area, and I walked into Meth City.
Mm.
And that's been a major change for me, like learning how to protect myself and watch, be more mindful of things. Like, I had to get myself out of fight or flight to actually keep myself safe, because being in a state of fight or flight, I couldn't like be aware of my surroundings. You think you can because you think you're hyper aware, but that's not quite it.
Mm-mm.
You need to be calm to handle situations and protect your children from potential things.
Because you need to be able to think.
Yeah, and I needed to ask for help, honestly. I needed to learn how to ask for help. And I needed to learn how to communicate, like, hey, I'm not in my right mind. I need you to be the one to keep an eye out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to stop putting so much pressure on myself. So, like, honestly, getting Loki was the best thing I ever did, because I'm able to breathe now. Like, he's my second pair of eyes. And yes, I know I've become way too dependent on a dog. But
but truthfully, I don't think people realize what an advantage it is to have, especially a large dog, in the house as added protection for your family. Because we always had dogs growing up. And so when my mom moved to Pennsylvania to take care of my grandparents, in their neighborhood, all of a sudden there was a bunch of midday break-ins. And the only houses on the street that didn't get broken into was my grandparents' house and their neighbor's house. Like, when I tell you these people, because do you remember back in like the mid-2000s, like around 2007, 2008, 2009, when people were eating bath salts?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when people were getting high off bath salts? Yeah. So one of these douchebags got into a neighbor's house while they were home in the middle of the day. Oh. And he was high as a fucking kite. But as I said, my grandparents' house and their neighbor's house did not get broken into, because my mom had my 95-pound Rottweiler, and the neighbors next door had easily a 115-pound German Shepherd that would literally eat you alive.
Yeah.
So nobody fucked with those houses because they knew they had big-ass dogs in them. And, like, that was, like, always an added security that I grew up with that I never even really thought about. Like, it's almost like having a gun in the house, but you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, and like, it is such a blessing. Like, and I didn't even realize it, because, like, I had a bigger dog growing up, but God, she was a teddy bear. She was just so sweet to everyone and anything. She had no sense of self-preservation for herself or her owners.
Funny, I saw Robert and I went out on the boat last weekend, and we saw this couple in a canoe, and they had, Allie, was it Samoan?
Samoan.
I was like, you see this couple, one on each end of their canoe, and then this big ass fluffy white dog, and all I could think of was Allie. But sorry. Yeah. But yeah, she was
amazing.
A teddy bear.
She was a great dog. But I never, like you, or unlike you, I never grew up with that added layer of security. Like, I had a dog, but she was just like, she would run up to the people.
Looking
and so when we got Loki, I had no expectations of him, none, zip, zilch, zero, because I had never had an experience like that. Like, I knew dogs were trained like that, but I didn't have the faith in myself to train a dog to be like that, especially an older dog, a rescue dog. And then he just started doing it naturally. And mm-hmm. I'm like, wait a second, he's so good with the kids and will literally lick them to death and lick me to death and lick anyone I like to death. But the second he sees anything unfamiliar, he looks rabid. And that includes anyone that comes to the door. But the thing is he's not uncontrollable rabid. If I say his name, he immediately will sit. And I'm like, this is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
You're telling me I didn't even have to do work to train this dog. Whoever did this, I thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, because you have infinitely blessed my life. Of course, Grace and I were talking about this topic, like I was saying, and I think we had a whole conversation about how the saying goes, you know, you can't run away from your problems.
Yes.
Because they'll always follow you. And so I wrote to her, I said, I think it's so funny how people say running away won't solve your problems because you follow yourself wherever you go, which means your problems are going to continue to follow you, you know? And it's true, but my problems did follow me, but I solved my problems because I ran away. I was able to solve my problems because I was able, I kind of like shocked my system. That's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like taking electrical paddles and just being like, it's do or die. Like, you've got to do it out here on your own.
Well, yeah. And I think that's the big difference. You didn't just go from living at my house to moving to like the next town over or 20 minutes away. You know what I mean? You didn't even go as far from like moving to North Carolina to Virginia. Like, you literally went to the complete opposite side of the country. And like, I know how that feels. Like, I didn't go the opposite side of the country, but like, literally everybody I know and love in my family is up in Connecticut in Pennsylvania. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. me being 25 and deciding to move to North Carolina, like, I still don't have any blood family down here. You know what I mean? I don't have that support system that you did here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I have more of that in Connecticut. So I completely understand what it's like to just not up and run, but you're like, I need a change. Something is no longer working where I am.
Yeah.
And they say, truthfully, one of the biggest ways to grow is to move away from your hometown, to mm-hmm. move away from the home area, because that's how small-minded people in areas and like towns stay stuck in a mentality, because certain people never choose to leave.
Exactly. But mine was a little bit different. It was a small town mentality, but not because it was a small town. It was like, whenever I was pushed to my limit in North Carolina, I knew that no matter the cost, I could pick up the phone and ask for help mm-hmm. from anyone, even if they were not good for me.
Yeah.
Right. And here, I didn't make any new connections or friends. I made one new friend and I love her. And she's played her own role, but not really in this way. But being here, there was no one to call. It didn't matter. I got pushed past my limits and then some.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole experience has been, the best way I can describe it, it's like a stripping down. And it's shown me, I've walked away with like, okay, these are areas where I definitely need help. Because I'm just, that's not something I'm naturally talented at or gifted with or something I really struggle with. Or, hey, I've got this one. Like, I just needed to perfect it a little bit. I just needed to learn. Like, I'm actually good at this. I just needed a little practice. And so that's how it's helped me grow. It hasn't necessarily been other people, but it's like me giving myself space away from toxic people and ideologies and giving myself no option and having to learn to trust myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I grew. So moving away doesn't necessarily mean exposing yourself to new cultures or people necessarily. It's just kind of exposing yourself to you.
Well, and I feel like sometimes you need to like completely get away from it all so that like the noise just stops and all the opinions and the outside influences and the people who just like vomit all over you all the time. Like
mm-hmm.
people who think that they should have access to you 24/7 and they really should not. Like sometimes you need to be able to run away from all of that just to get your bearings for yourself and figure out, like you said, like, I can fucking do this. Like, I am more than capable to get up every morning, take care of my two children, make sure my oldest gets to school, make sure dinner is on the table every night for my family, make sure my family is eating healthy meals. You're like, I can fucking do this.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's been trying at times because you're like, I don't have any extra hands to help in any way, shape, or form. But that's also created such a strength between you and Zach now that hasn't been there for a long time.
Ever. 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 I would like to state that. In a decade of marriage, the level of teamwork we work like a fucking well-oiled machine now.
Which is amazing. I'm so happy for you guys. Like, I truly
am. But it's also shown us, like, yeah, we can't. And this is where the balance comes in, right? And we've discussed this on the podcast before, but it's also shown us, and I don't know if you've had a similar experience, like, over this past year, but it's shown us where, like, yeah, we can do this. Like, yeah, we can operate like superhumans, but we shouldn't have to.
Well, yeah.
We shouldn't have to. Like, you know, there's an easier way. Like, we miss our friends. We miss where we could call Steph and be like, hey, do you want to do dinner night so I don't have to fucking cook every night? Like, and we can just come to yours? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, have Sunday family dinners. You don't realize
how much of a help that is. But we were doing that with people that weren't necessarily the healthiest for us. Not you, in that example. But, and you don't realize how much minutia just, like, fucking takes up your day what is the cost of you receiving the support you're receiving, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, for me, you learn how much those certain relationships really mean to you when you don't have access to them every day. Like, so I've been down here 8 years. So my sister she's 22. So she was what, 14 when I moved?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we weren't close. We weren't close. You know what I mean? And, like, after Matt passed away, she is probably one of the people that I became the closest with in my family, just because, like, well, she had known Matt since she was a fucking baby, but, you know, like, literally had known Matt since she was born. But, having that space away, like, her and I have never had those, like, fights as sisters. Like, we never fought over boys, never fought over clothes. Like, so we've just genuinely always have been blessed to have this great relationship with each other. And it's like, it's only grown and gotten that much more special because I can't see her all the time. So, like, when I am back at home, like, we make it a point to even just go to Starbucks and Target together. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's just because mom needs something and it's like, okay, well, let's go to Target and let's go to Starbucks. And we had our 2 hours together and it's like the best thing ever. And I think when you realize it, like, you made the decision to move away from everybody, like, yeah, everybody can sit there and say, well, you're the one who decided to leave. And I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean that it was easy. And that doesn't mean that I'm not allowed to, like, miss my family and my friends and wish that they were here, or that it was only a 3 hour ride instead of a 10 hour ride to get there. So that, like,
yeah,
you know, so I think it also helps you put into perspective of, like you said, you and Zach can operate as superhumans. And I feel like a lot of us do. But then you get to the point where you're like, just because I can do it this way doesn't mean I want to do it this way.
At what cost? It's the same concept of we need to look at the support that we're receiving, but at what cost? And we need to look at how we're operating independently and at what cost. And you need to measure, like, okay, where's the balance here? Where do I need to ask for help? Because the thing was, I was asking for help in things I didn't fucking need help with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was only able to learn that by being on my own for a while. And now I have a whole new appreciation for certain things that I didn't before, because it didn't seem like help, right, before. But now it's like, I struggle in this area. So someone offering to come over and cook dinner, or, like, us do some sort of weekend cookout, is a much bigger blessing on a whole other level for me than I ever previously appreciated, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Well, and it's those connections. Like, they say, the saying has always been, it takes a village. But generally, that was around, it takes a village to raise children. Not that it takes a village to live life in an enriched form.
Yes.
Like, life is not meant to be lived in isolation. I don't care who you are. Jonathan, if you are listening to this podcast, that goes to you, Mr. I want to go live in Alaska by yourself with polar bears, like, whatever. Like, we are not meant to live alone. Like, that is why even you look at, like, how Italy and Spain and Portugal are set up. Like, people still live in quote unquote villages. You know what I mean? Like, there are little towns where you go to the same little market. Like, we are meant to have those connections in life.
Think about how they used to do it. They're not called, maybe they're called convents. They're not, that's not the right.
That's culture. Where nuns are at.
I'm thinking more like Buddha, like, why can't I think? But think about that.
Monasteries?
Right? Monasteries. All these monks lived together in community, right? They prayed together. They ate together. They did everything together. But then they would go on these sabbaticals of aloneness and silence. And I feel like that's really, and I'm not comparing myself by any means to a monk. Like, that's not where this is going. But I feel like our human nature should follow that model where, like, we come together as community and we do everything together, in a sense. But and we also have sabbaticals of aloneness, and that's okay and accepted and even encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's what Washington was, because I hadn't learned how to take my sabbaticals of aloneness, you know, like, and I had never, I was just filling my time and my space with people and things and alcohol and substances and sex and TV shows.
Because you weren't ready for what comes when nothing, when all of that is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you strip it away, like when you strip the layers away, like what are you left with? And that's what scares people. Like people, I don't remember who I was having this conversation with. It was a long time ago, but I remember having a conversation with one of my friends, and I was like, it was probably Kim, if I really think about it. And because Kim always had like these massive groups of friends, but she like always kept people in like these buckets, for lack of a better term. But like when it really came down to it, I was like, are these your actual friends? Like, if you were in trouble, who are you gonna call? Can you call any of these people? And she would just kind of like look at me, and I'm like, her and I weren't party friends. She didn't call me to go party with her. You know what I mean? Not saying we didn't party together, but like if Kim wanted to go out and rage, I was not the person she called. I was the person that Kim called because she wanted to sit on the couch, drink coffee, go for drives, like wanted to sit and listen to my mom talk for hours. Like we had genuine friendship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? She didn't call me because she just wanted to go get wasted for 3 days and go on a bender. You know what I mean? So it's like once you strip away those layers from people and you realize like, okay, these are really only my friends because we have a good time together. And these people only ever call me because they want something for me. Or these people, you know, like they're all distractions.
Yeah. And then you start to learn the value of, so like the friends that I have left, they check all of the boxes because I don't want to have to like sacrifice a portion of myself to just be friends with them. And I also want my friend group to be semi-cohesive. Like, I want everyone to be able to stand each other. It's just, it's so fucking annoying when everyone's together and they're like, oh, you know, like this person and that drama. And it's like, uh-oh, she's walking away. She has left me. I feel like I need to insert elevator music here for when this happens. Please hold while we wait for Stephanie to return.
Put on fucking hold music. Christ. Oh god. Sorry. Robert went to work and I forgot he only had his work truck keys, so he didn't have a house key. And he's like, can you let me in? And I'm like, I'm recording. He's like, I don't have any fucking keys to get in the house.
You're gonna have to edit that. But I was like, please hold. And I just pressed I'm like,
Stephanie is. Oh god.
Oh my god, but that's hysterical. No, I just don't, like, it's just, I want everyone to be able to, like, we don't all have to agree on everything, but just be able to, like, be kind, and, like, we're all there for a purpose, and that's to help each other, and, like, blah, 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 and I feel like this year has kind of unintentionally made that happen for a lot of people, and not because I left, but just it in its own way, like, you went through a very similar transformation for very different reasons. Jazzy went through a very similar transformation for different reasons. Like, she no longer had any of us. They moved out to the middle of nowhere. Yeah, they were closer, but, like, she got a job. She was busier. She cut her parents out, or her mom and aunt out of her life. Like, so she had a very similar experience of aloneness. Mm-hmm. You had a very similar experience of aloneness. Even though you were with Robert, it still feels like it's new, and that can feel very lonely sometimes.
Well, and I think it's different when you have, like, your girlfriends. And mm-hmm. then it's, you know, because you're right. Everything with Robert is very new. Like, it's just been a year since we started seeing each other. So, you know, that was an unexpected turn of events that we didn't know was going to happen in 2022. So, yeah, it is very new because the poor man has been dealing with an emotional mess of a girlfriend that he didn't know he was signing up for. But he is a true saint when it comes to dealing with all my ups and downs, even though he doesn't understand, but he's like, I can try to understand and I can at least try and be there for you. But yeah, it can be very lonely. As we've said so many times, even just on the whole healing aspect, like when you choose to go down these paths and, there's very few people that are going to like actually sit in the shit with you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And are gonna, you know, crawl in bed with you with Salcedo chocolate chip cookies and Cheez-Its and order a pizza and spill sauce on your bed. But and be like, can I please hide in here with you?
Zach brought me cookies because he knows, like, what a rough last 2 weeks it's been, because I put in so much work while we've been here. And, like, for some reason, the universe is playing a joke on me. And it's like, let's give you the rewards of all of your work while you are trying to plan a cross-country trip, move, and a trip out to the Olympic National. Let's just let you start actually feeling things and remembering things now. I think it's an excellent time for you to have viscerally sobbing mental breakdowns in the middle of trying to plan. Sounds excellent. And so I've been balancing my emotional breakdowns. And we used to say we were having emotional breakdowns, but, like, you know how it is when you start having self-realizations and, like, important conversations. And that's a whole different kind of feeling.
Important conversations with yourself or with other people or both?
Both. Both. I've been hit with both, because, like, the important conversations with myself have come out in book form, mm-hmm. which has been an emotional experience writing the book. And then, but I just can't, like, I can't stop. I know people say, like, if you're taking on too much or if you're too tired, take a break. And it's like, you don't understand. Like, I have to write it or I lose it. Yeah. I have to say it to this person or I lose it. I'm in the moment and I feel all the feelings. I've got to say it now. So trying to find a balance between getting important life stuff done and then, like, processing all of these emotions and having these important conversations with people has been, it's, these last 2 weeks have felt like a lifetime. And Zach has literally watched me, I think the last mental breakdown, it was the second to last, but it was silly regardless. The last mental breakdown was over, The Hobbit. Mm-hmm. I cried in bed for 3 hours. 3 hours. And I know people are like, oh, you know, like, I've cried all that. No. You have not sobbed for 3 hours over a realization.
What was the realization? Do you want to share?
Yeah. It was that I was watching a trailer for The Hobbit, and I realized as I was watching the trailer, for some reason, it popped
up. Like the new Hobbit or like?
The one that was released in 2012.
So not the like newest one that they like. The show that they just came out with, or
I watched
whatever.
The show. Yeah, I watched the show because I love Lord of the Rings. Like, huge mm-hmm. Lord of the Rings fan. And I realized that I had never watched the Hobbit series back in 2012, and it hit me like a ton of bricks because I was like, why would I not watch this? Like, I love this. Why did I never watch this? And I'm like, oh my God, I probably never watched it because my mom had some type of feeling towards Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. After Ed left, because Ed is dad number two for everyone listening, because Lord of the Rings was our thing. It was our thing. And so she probably had some kind of comment, and it discouraged me from going to see something. And I'm like, wow, I put so much of myself and who I was on the back burner to please other people, like down to the things that I love that bring joy to my life. And I've been living this way for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much more to it. And it went a lot deeper than that. But for the sake of time on the podcast, the moral of the story was that I ended up texting Ed, dad number two, who's coming out for the Olympic National Park trip. And I was like, hey, can we bring the projector out to the park at the cabin? And can we like watch The Hobbit together one night? Maybe.
That's awesome.
And he was like, is this some inner teen healing shit?
Yep.
And I'm like, yes, yep.
You nailed it, Ed.
Nail meathead. Yeah. And then the last mental breakdown was like the truly genuine apology from my father that I've never received an apology that genuine in my entire life. And it took me off my feet, took my breath away, like to the point where I was sobbing on the phone with a man that I'm not super comfortable with. And yeah, because even he remembered, I told him about the Hobbit thing and he's like, oh my God, that was y'all's thing. And I'm like, even he can remember how special that was to me. And he said he was so eternally grateful for Ed filling that spot as a father when he abandoned me, and he knew what he was abandoning me with.
Hmm.
And I was like, whew. And yeah, it was a lot of really deep things in the course of 2 weeks. And then trying to plan this, my heart's racing right now talking about it because I'm like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
It's okay. Gotta feel it to heal it. Actually, I saw a TikTok earlier today that was like, sometimes you just need to fucking cry it out because you're not going to feel better until you do cry it out. So you might as well just fucking cry.
I'm crying over everything. I hope y'all are prepared because like there's a very different Jamie coming back who cries at least once a day. And it can be over some of the stupid. I cried last night in the bathtub. To a TikTok video that I will send to you. And it was just a cute little song. And I was like, this is so beautiful. Everyone's singing together.
I mean, I was there for a while, crying all the time. Now, some days I feel like I have to, like, force myself to cry, and it doesn't work so well. But I mean, I can understand that hard realization, because I feel like I had one last year when I was like, why is it so hard for me to make decisions for myself? Like, why can I not just decide what I want to do? And it's because my entire life, somebody else has always made the decisions for me. Something else has always influenced why I am where I am in my life. I think the only decision I ever made basically 100% for myself was to move to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, it has been a shit show since day one. These last 8 years have been a lot.
Looking back and reflecting it all from where you are today, everything you've learned, do you feel like you still feel like it's one of the best decisions you've ever made?
I don't know. No, like, honestly, I don't. Like, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of stuck in this limbo still, like, and I think that was part of the reason why I was having such a hard time with moving back to Connecticut, because, you know, like, moving back to Connecticut felt like going backwards, but also, like, was the reason why I moved to North Carolina, like, had it always been about Matt, even though I did not move here for that reason, but, like, was that always the plan that, like, I was, not to say like I was just supposed to be here for Matt, but like, was my time in North Carolina done after losing him? Yeah. Does that make sense? You know, like, and so I don't know. Because I mean, nothing about my move to North Carolina has been easy. Like, there's not been one easy year. Like, I can't tell you a complete year of living down here that's been without something happening since I moved down here.
I can agree with that.
And they're all, like, big things, not just, like, little things, you know?
Say this and see if you resonate with it a little bit. because I felt very similarly about the entirety of my adult life / my marriage, which is pretty much the same thing. This year was incredibly hard, but it also felt incredibly transformative, which made it also incredibly easy, if that makes sense. Certain parts of my life have become easy.
Uh-huh.
That were never easy before. They're much easier to carry now. And while this year was still hard, a large portion of it became easier. And so that helped me, that kind of lit a fire to where I'm like, okay, so if I put myself back in a place where I know I'll be supported and I fulfill the needs, the things that I struggle with, maybe then, because the things I've accomplished or made easy on my own, life will then become easier next year. And then we're going to start digging ourselves out of this hole that we've been in, this emotional hole that we've been in. So that's the first part of it. And then the second part of it, maybe some like reframing for you, is I had to find purpose for moving up here. Like, what good came of it outside of myself?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it was just me and what's happened in the walls of this house, then like I could have done that in fucking North Carolina, you know? I could have just isolated myself and told you all to fuck off for you. Exactly. So I needed to find an external. No, I didn't have the willpower, but I also, in order to live with myself, I needed to find something else other than I just didn't have the willpower. Like, yeah. What was the purpose of coming here? And so one of my biggest purposes was meeting my neighbor, because the relationship with her has been so transformative in a way that she probably doesn't even realize. But I shared it with her the other day. She was like, wow, she didn't have any words, but like I had built such a stigma around like taking care of myself in natural ways or just like alternative medicines or like anything. And she became like my tea drinking buddy without even realizing it. Like, she would come down and we'd drink tea together, and then it got me onto drinking tea, and then I started drinking tea to feel better, and it helped me cut down my coffee. And I don't think that would have happened on its own.
Mm-hmm.
She helped me break the whole stigma around marijuana, if I'm honest, because she's like a fucking excellent mom. She's a great mom. There's some concerning things here and there, like ways we parent differently because of where we grew up. But other than that, she's an excellent mother. And like, nothing about how she smokes. And what throws me off is she's like, she was an army vet. She has PTSD. Like, so she, how she lives her life compared to how she has lived her life was such a dark, stark contrast for me that I was like, oh, I can still be like respected and get things done and be a good, like, which I always knew.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too afraid to live that out of fear of being judged. And once I said, fuck it, I'm like, you're up here all the fuck alone. If it turns out to be ridiculous and all you're doing is eating potato chips on a couch and you're like, your whole life starts crumbling, like, what else do you have to fucking lose up here, Jamie Nicole? Just try it. It's something you haven't tried, and it used to work for you. So just do it. So I did. And it's one of the best decisions I've ever made. I've gotten off my meds. I'm getting a bunch of stuff done. I've gotten my creativity back. Like, it's like all the work I had put in prior started, I poured gasoline on it.
Like, coming to fruition?
Yeah, that's what it felt like. I was able to like fucking relax and tap into my creativity, which I don't think I would have. I looked at marijuana as a fun time relaxing thing in North Carolina, and here it's not a fun time relaxing thing. It's like, there's different, there's like strains, and you think about the strains as medicines, and I could talk about this for hours, but like each one has a different effect on you, and it does mm-hmm. matter which one you have and which one you use and how much you use and how you use it and all of this stuff. And so like just really learning that up here has been transformative for me. And I feel like it's healed a huge part of my like early adult inner teen, because that's what I wanted to do. That was my dream, was to move to Colorado and open a dispensary in 2010. And I never got to do that because I got pregnant and married and I got a big girl job and I all this stuff. So moving here, I'm like, God, I got to relearn all of this stuff. And if they bring it to North Carolina, I could partner up with Tina. And like, it's opened up a lot of potentials by me losing that small town mentality.
Mm-hmm. And just getting away from it. Like, Mm-hmm. And putting yourself out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I tried to hide away from Jess when I first met her. I was so mad. I'll never forget the first day I met her. I was so mad because I was trying to get Noah to take a nap, and Jace came running upstairs, and she was like, "I brought my friend's mom down to meet you. Da 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 da." She's standing at the gate right now waiting, and I'm like, I look like this. You want me to meet a mom for the first time? Noah's a hot mess. And I run out. I'm like, I'm sorry. I look homeless. And she laughed and said, well, I was homeless. So, and I'm like, and I knew immediately. I was like, instant friendship. And the rest is history.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Have you convinced her to move to North Carolina yet?
I'm still trying. I think we're halfway there.
We are so grateful to those of you who have allowed us to take up space in your lives and supporting us while we share some of our most vulnerable moments.
As James said, your support means the world to us. So we would absolutely love to know your thoughts on the show. So please leave us a review on any of our platforms. And also make sure to follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The links are posted in our show notes.
This concludes your tour of Stay Wild, Trauma Child. Please remain seated until...
Oh, God, James. Thank you for listening. We love you. And as always,
stay wild.